As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Board of Education President Stan Reeser. Welcome to Issues 2022, Stan.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you. It's great to talk to you and your listeners again.
I think this is our second show we've done.
It's actually our third, Steve.
Is it third?
But
okay.
I was probably so boring the first two times, you probably just kind of mixed them together.
Yeah, it was just really forgettable. That's true. Well, let's start with a little background. How long have you been president of the Wichita School Board?
This is my second term as president, so I'm basically a year and a half into being president of the board.
What do you do to earn a living? As most people don't understand, I think, that the Wichita Board of Education is a non-paying position. What do you do for a living then, Stan?
I actually am employed by Ascension Via Christi St. Francis. I'm a medical supply specialist.
All right.
And I work that job, and then I volunteer, and the Wichita School Board has kind of become a full-time job, so I kind of have two full-time jobs, it feels like, at times.
Mm. Now, did you attend Wichita schools?
I did. I graduated from Wichita South in 1980. And then attended Wichita State University and graduated with a bachelor's degree in the 80s from Wichita State.
What motivated you to run for school board, Stan?
Well, I've always been very interested in education issues. And before I changed my major, I was actually an education major, and for various reasons, did not complete that degree, but completed a different degree in general studies. But I've always been kind of involved in education issues as a young parent. The first year my oldest daughter was in school, I volunteered. At that time, it was called the PTAs instead of the PTOs. And I was like the PTA president. And then I was on some several site councils with the school district and volunteered for the school district. And then when a position came open on the school board, I went for it and got it. And it's been an honor and a privilege that the voters and the citizens have allowed me to serve on this board.
After the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, the school classes started this week. But after the COVID-19 pandemic, are students back in the classrooms full time now?
Yes, they sure are. We, this process has actually been. I hope someday to kind of look back on it and go over all my notes. But it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about this just the other day about how we've gone through many different stages of this pandemic. The first one was we had to find out what this pandemic actually was. I think people forget sometimes what the initial reaction to the pandemic in March of 2020 was, and that there was so many unknowns, and we erred on the side of caution to make sure, and we didn't have vaccinations at that time. It was a very scary moment, and no one knew exactly how to handle it. That was the first stage. The second stage was we were doing all the mitigation processes, such as wearing masks. We had some remote learning going on. And then in the spring of 21, when we started getting more information, and then we had vaccinations available to people, we were able to go 100% back to in-person. And in this year, the nice thing that has been the new stage is that now that there's vaccinations available for students and young people all the way down to, I believe, 5 years old, we are now able to have school in a new normal, or as much normal as we can do. People are still encouraged that if they feel like they're going to be in a large group for a long period of time, we are still encouraging them to wear a mask, but they're not required to wear a mask at all times. So this is about as normal as it's been in about 3 years. So it's been a great start of the new year.
So the students and teachers are masking up if they wish to do so.
Exactly. It is still being encouraged, one vaccination helped. Yeah, that we have done is we have used the federal emergency education funds, and they're called ESSER funds, to improve our ventilation systems in all our schools. That has been a massive undertaking, and we had to do it very, very quickly. Our ventilation in our schools are so much better than they used to be. And we've also have the CDC and medical people have always kind of revised what is safe, what is not safe. One thing that's kind of been a rule of thumb that doesn't get talked about a whole lot is if you are in a group of people, the amount of time should be about 15 minutes. I always turn like an internal clock in on them on my head. And that has really seemed to be a really good recommendation that if you are in a situation where there's a lot of people in a group, then you should try to stay within, you know, the social distancing of 6 feet. But there's also kind of a time limit, and that you should not be in that small group very close to each other for more than 15 minutes. So there's a lot of good recommendations out there. That's all led us to this year hopefully being a normal year as possible. And everybody's enjoying and loving seeing the smiles on the kids' faces. First day of school was just great.
I know you don't have the figures in, won't have them for a few days, the actual enrollment figures for USD 259. But what do you think is about how many kids are you actually educating here in the Wichita Public Schools?
Like, we are going to be in about the 44,000 range, which is very consistent. If you compare that to the census information that we just, you know, got done doing in 2020, and the numbers were released in 21, in that we feel like the 44,000 number is about where we're going to be. And that's actually pretty consistent with our population and what our history has been. You know, we have in Kansas and in Wichita, our growth in the last decade was actually fairly slow. It was like a 1%, 2% growth. So we're pretty consistent with those numbers. We're still the largest school district. in the state. So we have our large school district challenges. But there's also, I've always felt like our school district really prepares students for the future, because the diversity that you will see in our schools with languages, with race, with a thousand other factors, that is the type of workforce that these kids will see once they get out into the job place. So it has been, our numbers are good, and we think that our 44,000 students will be very good employees and workers and citizens in the future.
What was your reaction to the mass shootings at Uvalde, Texas?
Well, you know, security issues at schools are an ongoing process. We don't start when there's a tragedy like that. You know, we don't just all of a sudden form together. We have an ongoing group that is constantly looking at all factors. And every time there's an unfortunate situation or a tragedy such as the one down in Texas, we try to be very diligent in waiting till the report comes out. We've now got the report. It's about a month old now. And we go through that process and we compare it to what we are doing on our safety program. And we see if there's any new lessons we need to learn. But Steve, here's the important thing. The biggest deterrent is our See Something, Say Something program. And that is, we have people keeping an eye on social media. We have students ask students to report any type of activity or things that they hear. We watch all types of note writing, that type of thing on social media. And that is the biggest deterrent we have, is that if you see something suspicious, you see somebody acting strange, you know, do not keep that information to yourself. But the bottom line is, our security plan we are very comfortable with our security plan. We can't divulge exactly all the details of that safety plan, because you don't let the other side know what that safety plan is exactly. But, you know, as much as you can do it, anything could happen. But, you know, the thing of it is, unfortunately, violence is in our society. And sometimes it reaches the school level, but we are doing everything we can to make sure that our kids are safe.
You're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations. Our guest is Wichita Board of Education President Stan Reeser. How have test scores held up over the past couple of years, Stan?
They took a dip during the COVID year. They definitely did. What we have done to try to correct that, and I say a dip, it actually was not as severe as I thought it could be. And that was just a personal opinion. I really expected a substantial dip. But there was a slight dip, and we've had two summer school sessions now where kids have had the lowest or the biggest dip in their achievement scores. They were strongly encouraged to get into summer school. We had our highest attendance of summer school this past year, and we think we have kind of stopped that decline, and we did a lot of catch up this summer. We started the catch up in the summer of 21. We accelerated that catch-up process in 22 with a very robust summer school program. And we hope to, really start seeing some increases in those achievement scores.
What can our educators do to help the students understand and avoid this deadly fentanyl we've been hearing about?
That is a very good subject, and you know, I am not an expert on that area, but I do know that we are developing strategies, and some have already been in place. But we're developing new strategies on how to address this issue. There are products that our safety officers can carry with them now. We're working with and vetting that whole process. And, of course, you know, just a lot of it just comes down to education and and letting the student understand what the problem is. But I think we're on top of that situation, too, pretty, you know. Our safety team has really done a great job of staying up on this and keeping the board informed on what we need to be prepared for.
What is the USD 259 approach to teaching Black history?
What we have done is we have, like all school districts throughout the nation, of course, we, you know, I'm always uncomfortable that we kind of segregated down into Black History Month in February. But what we do is make sure that that month truly is celebrated. And the thing that is important to remember about teaching U.S. history is that we want to teach critical thinking skills for our students. We do not teach critical race theory because that is a master's level, universal level at university level. So we do not get into critical race theory, but we do want to make sure that our students are prepared for when they get into college or the workforce that they have critical thinking skills. So that's how we approach Black history. And that we make sure that they have the ability and develop their skills on how to think about these issues in a holistic way, and that they improve their critical thinking process. And, you know, the thing of it is that our students, they have to grow up pretty darn quick, probably faster than your generation and my generation did. And they are already developing that those skills. And what we do is we just try to facilitate the fact that they are critical thinkers so that when they get out into the real world, they are ready to hit the ground running.
That's something that I've interjected, something I took away from my experience in school, including USD 259, is not so much how a geometric formula works, or how to spell confident, but more than what are the facts, how can I get the facts, and when I get all the facts, how can I make a reasoned judgment? Critical thinking.
Exactly.
Because critical thinking.
Because a lot of times, you know, we make sure the basics are there, and that's what you really have to stress in at the elementary, middle school, and high school level is by the time, you know, we really focus on the basic facts, but we also start introducing the fact that they have to start thinking about these issues in a critical way so that they, because when you get out to the job force and when you get out to the university, nobody's going to ask you to spew out a bunch of facts about your job or about some topic you're studying in college. You're going to be called upon to formulate those facts into, you know, some reasoning and some judgment.
Yeah, and nobody's going to ask you how you feel about it.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, how are the schools handling the questions and possible challenges regarding the LGBTQ and gender issues, which are top of the news right now?
Yes, they are, and we have a very strong anti-non-discrimination policy that includes orientation and gender identity. And it's just like, you know, I think our thoughts on LGBTQ questions have developed over the years. And what we try to make sure is to meet the students where they are and meet the family, the student's family, where they are at that moment and at that time. And we just try to make sure that there is no confusion, or the fact of the matter is we are there to educate them, and we are there to educate them where they are at that time in their life. And we, the whole thing nowadays is that I think that one of the biggest difference that has happened in public schools, not just in Wichita, but nationwide, is that our teachers truly have to be more than just teachers of a subject. And when I was, again, I mentioned earlier that I was an education major at one time. The focus back then was, you know, really know your topics. Now, these students expect and need to know that we care about them on a personal level. And they need to make sure that they feel that they are not discriminated against in any way, in any area. And I think we're dedicated to that. There's been controversies in other school districts about these issues. But as long as you meet the students where they are and they understand that you accept them and understand them, or understand them as much as you can, then that's where you have success. That's where you start getting better test scores, is that, and I sometimes worry about our teachers, because not only do they have to be teachers, but they have to be counselors almost at the same time. And it is a big job that our teachers are taking on, but okay, they are doing an outstanding job.
I need to interrupt you. We're getting away from time here again. Stan, what is your staffing situation right now? Do you have enough teachers, the right kind of teachers?
We are doing pretty good on teachers. We are struggling, we still have shortages in paras, and we are looking at increasing the budget for paras in the future, because that is where the need is. Because of these extra duties and extra tasks that teachers have put on, we are needing more paras.
Okay, let me interrupt you. What's a para? What are you talking about?
A para is a professional, you know, the easiest way to put it is a para is short for paraprofessional.
Okay.
They are a teacher's aide in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
And they receive training, but they are not certified teachers, but they are there to assist the teachers in all the tasks, and especially in special needs kids who are behind. And we are still in need of them, but overall our staffing is pretty good.
But you're talking about it's kind of like a PA, like a physician's assistant there, somebody who can do
exactly
a lot of stuff, but not. Hey, before we get away, football at Riverfront Stadium. How's that going to play? Is it going to be all right?
Oh man, I'm looking forward to this, Steve. I think we've done a great job. I've kind of got a little project there where I'm trying to get interest in my district in high school football. I'd like to raise the level of that, and we've got an annual traveling trophy now that we do between South High and West. I'd love to see that idea get included and expanded into other sports. But we're going to have the second annual gridiron game between South High and West High, which is my school district that I represent. We're going to have that at Riverfront Stadium this year. We're going to try to really publicize it, get people. We would really love to have that place packed with a bunch of students and parents and community members. We're very excited about it.
All right. We're out of time, Stan. Thank you so much for spending
some time, Steve,
with us. Always a pleasure. Our guest this week, Wichita Board of Education President Stan Reeser. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2022. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.